Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, this is Abby, and welcome to episode 64 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. I am missing my co-host today, Lori Peterson. She is on a much needed and much deserved vacation. So I'm here without her today, but I'm excited for this episode to continue our intervention series. Today, we have a very special guest with us. We have Ms. Sue Zaff from the Children's Therapy Center, Inc. in Webster, Texas, outside of Houston, Texas. And Sue today is going to talk to us a little bit about the intervention of interactive metronome. Hi, Sue. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, we're so happy you're here, and we're so excited to learn more about what you do and a little bit more about interactive metronome. So to get us started first, Sue, just tell us a little bit about you and what you do and how you landed in the position you're in now doing what you're doing.
Okay, so I am an occupational therapist. And I specialize in pediatrics. I've been an OT for over 27 years, one of the reasons I moved to Texas. And I am the owner of the Children's Therapy Center in Webster, which is a pediatric-based sensory integration clinic. And so we provide occupational therapy and speech therapy services there. And we've been in business for almost 30 years. And our focus is pediatrics, so we treat kiddos anywhere from 6 months all the way up to 18. And one of the programs that we use at our clinic is the interactive metronome. So I've known about the metronome actually since probably 1999 or 2000. I can't remember, but it's been an integral part of our clinic. And as a mom, I have a son with dyslexia and high-functioning autism, and he was involved in a case study to do the interactive metronome with a colleague of mine when we were doing our PhD program in pediatric science. And I just remember seeing the amazing changes that happened. It was a 15-session treatment intervention, and I remember in the back of the car, all of a sudden I heard this talking, and I was like, well, that's not my other son. How come Christopher is all of a sudden carrying on this very involved dialogue conversation? And we believe it was really part of that interactive metronome because that was one of the only intervention changes that we had done.
Wow. So, yeah. That's amazing. What a cool testimonial and a great story. So was he fairly nonverbal before interactive metronome?
He was verbal, but not in the level of complete sentences. He didn't really start speaking until he was 4 years old.
Okay.
And so just that time, I think he was 8 or 9. And so just the level of the sentences and just an evolved conversation with back and forth engagement. Wow. Along with that, he also improved in his gross motor skills, balance, coordination. But the language and the conversation, I had to look back and say,
who's there? That is so awesome. Wonderful. Well, so interactive metronome, tell us, what is interactive metronome? Because when I hear metronome, I think of that little device that people set up on a piano that ticks back and forth. And I don't even know why they use it, but I think it helps them keep the rhythm when they're playing piano.
So the interactive metronome is a synchronicity of both auditory feedback, and you've got your visual feedback, and then you also got movement going on, the motor planning component. So it is a device that's hooked up to your computer, and it provides different types of gaming activities to help with synchronization of these three systems together. And I think the metronome. That's what puts it apart from several of the other kind of brain games out there, is the fact that it incorporates all three of those systems together. Mm-hmm. So what you will see is you'll have this auditory feedback, which is the interactive metronome, and you will also have some extra auditory feedback that helps with getting you to get that internal timing, and those are called guide sounds. And so typically what happens is your client or student is on the computer and they're playing a game, and their whole concept is to try to anticipate. So it's anticipatory when that beat is going to happen, because the beat continues to be the same. If you set it at 56 beats per minute, it will maintain that beat of 56 beats per minute. And then you add components of that auditory feedback as well with guide sounds that help you identify, oh, I'm going too fast, I need to slow down, I'm going too slow, I need to speed up, or I'm right in the zone of where I need to be. And what the computer software does is it looks at the timing aspect, and it collects data on the milliseconds of how close that person is to getting that specific beat.
Oh, so the child feels like, so they're playing a game, but they're hearing this beat in their headphones. And then are they supposed to be doing something intentional or specific when they hear the beat?
Yes. So there's a switch. There's a variety of switches that are put with the interactive metronome. And so when they anticipate that the beat is going to happen, because remember, it's anticipatory, then they are going to try to get as close to that beat as possible in milliseconds. And so there's switch buttons that you could use. There's foot plate switches that you can use. And then again, it's, you know, really up to the creativity of the provider on what types of switches you use. And so the switch then provides that internal hit to the computer program, which is measured in milliseconds. Mm-hmm. And then you also get that visual display, and you've got that waiting in the headphones because of the synchronicity of the beat and the right side or the left side. So it's, you know, it's a multi-sensory approach.
Mm-hmm. That is great, which we know that with individuals that have learning differences or different developmental disabilities, processing disorders, ADHD, et cetera, they tend to learn best in using a multisensory format or multisensory approach involving as many senses as possible. So the interactive, how long is one session that they're sitting at the computer?
So it depends on the client. It's very individualized, which is what I like about the program as well. And so you can, you know, you base it on what your client's needs are. At our clinic, what we do is we tend to do what's called intensives, because we know from the research that the more repetition, the more successful you are to gain skills, right? The frequency. So we look at that when we plan our sessions. So we tend to do sessions that are three times a week for 5 weeks. So it's like a 15-week session. That's just specific to our clinic, though. I know other clinics that, and we do this also, we may use it as a starter program from a standpoint of, you know, getting that client organized before moving into maybe a more difficult task. So we may come in and do the metronome for 10, 15 minutes to help with that focus, attention, and organization. They also have a home program as well that you can set up, and it's done through eClinic that parents can kind of put into part of their daily routine or evening homework routine. Let's do the metronome for, you know, 20 minutes before we start our homework. Again, as kind of that preparatory, because we know, like you stated, that multisensory approach is a key to learning. But what also from the standpoint of the interactive metronome is you're getting that, like I said, that motor timing, you're working on that anticipatory, and you're getting that rhythmic feedback. And we know that rhythmicity is really important, especially like you stated, for children with learning disabilities and the concepts of reading. If you get that rhythmicity and you learn that flow and that movement, that can help you with gaining reading skills and comprehension skills, especially in the area of fluency. because, you know, when you're reading, you have to keep that certain level of fluency up in order to recall what you read. And so it's that fluency, that flow, and that metronome also provides that rhythmic flow and consistency.
So interesting.
Yeah. And one of the things you'll hear when you hear the interactive metronome is you'll hear something that's called like an internal brain clock, that our brains have this internal clock that we anticipate movement. And if you look at motor planning skills, you know, part of motor planning is pre-planning what you're going to do before you execute it. You have to have that anticipation of what to do and how to do it. And so the interactive metronome works with the brain, specifically that frontal and parietal lobe of the brain, in synchronicity to help with that internal planning and that internal organization. Which
sounds like that could be beneficial for all students, but especially I'm thinking of students that I've worked with ADHD that struggle tremendously with their executive functioning skills, planning, executing the plan, which a lot of students with just specific learning disabilities struggle with executive functioning skills as well. So it helps them develop that ability to be able to focus and attend and plan ahead and then kind of set a path to accomplishing what's on their plan.
What's on their plan, what's on their task, and how to tackle whatever the activity is. So yes, it does that as well. And there's some really nice research. You can go on to the Interactive Metronome website and you can access their research on the Interactive Metronome. They have a variety of research studies and white papers that you can look at just by going on their website. You don't need to be a member.
Okay, that's great. That's a great resource. So Interactive Metronome, is it .org?
.com.
We'll look it up and we'll put a link in the show notes for everybody. So then it sounds like it can be very beneficial for students with learning disabilities, with ADHD. You mentioned like doing it before a hard task or before homework time. So it gets them engaged, it gets them focused and attentive. But are the effects long lasting, or is it more of a temporary do this before you go to school or have a test or have to integrate your bodily, you know, or these functions? Or is it something that is long lasting that they'll develop those skills and keep them?
Yes. No, it is long lasting because what you're doing is you're changing the efficiency and the neural pathways in the brain. Because when you're combining those sensory systems, right, with neuroplasticity and brain changes, what you're doing is you're working those multi-systems together, the auditory, visual, and movement, motor, but you're also crossing pathways in the brain, specifically working on that neural efficiency. So when you're giving that brain that repetition and that feedback and that movement, you're then going to change pathways. And so with the kids that we've treated in our clinic, we have not seen any regression. I mean, it is long standing changes.
That is incredible. That is so cool.
Yeah. And they also have some really good case studies on their website as well that you can read.
Oh, okay. Good. So, and then you mentioned that you guys start, your clinic works with pediatrics starting 6 months of age, but Interactive Metronome as a whole, as an intervention system, what ages can it be used for?
So the Interactive Metronome is for kids all the way up to adults to seniors. It's often used, if you look in some of the research, they've done it with individuals that have had head injury, with veterans and PTSD. It's a fascinating study that they did. I don't have the reference, but if you look on their website, you'll find it. Was they looked at adults that were in the service that had a closed head injury due to a blast of, you know, like a bomb blast. And they did the interactive metronome because one of the things that the metronome is working on when we're looking at brain function is that frontal lobe And that frontal lobe is that, you know, is that anticipatory, but also it works on, you know, controlling your emotions and controlling your behavior. And so what, you know, sometimes with frontal head injuries, they have difficulty with behavior and control. And so they did the study and they found that these adults after 15 sessions had better control and better regulation after this metronome. So you see those lasting effects.
Yeah. Okay. So then if it can help veterans with PTSD, with their emotional functioning and behavior responses, then is that maybe one way it helps individuals with ADHD with like behavior regulation or emotional regulation?
Yes. So one of the effects of the metronome is that ability to control regulation. And it's built in the program too. Like I stated, there's those visual icons that you have that help you with, I'm going too fast, I'm going too slow, pacing. I need to regulate myself in order to stay and maintain that beat. Because when I maintain that beat, I get the positive effects of whatever gaming program that they're on. There's several different games that are interactive, but there are also static screens as well. And so what you learn is to self-regulate, right, through that planning. Oh, and of course, your therapist or your educator is working with you. Okay, you're going too fast. What can we do to slow down? How are you going to anticipate and make your body slow down so you can focus and attend and maintain that beat? Because the longer you maintain that beat, you get bursts, you get positive feedback from the program. And so then you're starting to learn, okay, I need to be at this level. I need to maintain my body and organize. Okay. And we oftentimes pair it from a sensory integration standpoint. We're always looking at self-regulation as well. And we use a program that's called the Zones of Regulation. It helps with understanding how to regulate your body and your planning. And so we'll often say, okay, look at over here, you're going too fast. You know, what can you do? Think about your zones. What are some strategies to help you slow down and maintain that beat? Or you're too slow, you need to pick up your speed. So
that's great. So they're getting continuous feedback from the therapist or the provider, the clinician throughout the program.
Yes. And also with the actual program's auditory and visual feedback.
Okay. Very cool. And so you had also mentioned that it helps with motor planning. So have you ever heard or worked with any students with dysgraphia that have poor motor planning that causes them to really struggle with handwriting and fine motor skills? And does the interactive metronome help with that?
Yes. So we oftentimes see kids, if you have dysgraphia, you're typically going to have some other type of motor discoordination within your movement planning. Not always, but you will. It is a high correlation. And so, yes, and part of the interactive metronome, like I stated, is that to me sets it apart from some of those other games out there, is you are actually moving with the program. And so there is a set of 14 exercises that are part of the basic protocol for the program. So you, you're using your hands together, bilateral hands. You might be using one side, right side hand, left side hand. You're moving your legs, your lower extremities and movements bilaterally together or reciprocally or, you know, symmetrically. So there's those 14 exercises. Then you have higher skill levels where you're using your hands and your feet together to maintain the beat. You know, once the, client or student has progressed through those kind of basic exercises, then you can enhance the level difficulty and the activities as well. Like we'll have our kids go through movement obstacle course while maintaining the beat, or walking an infinity circle while maintaining the beat. And so you can, as the client starts to understand and picks up and gets their feedback, their movement in coordination with the metronome's beat. feet, then you can change difficulty levels to make it harder. You can change up like the activities to make it, you know, to go to that next level to grade and mm-hmm. to increase that workload. Because we know that when we increase workload, then we change that brain and we provide more challenge and then get better efficiency mm-hmm. and establishing stronger neural pathways. So,
okay, good to know. That sounds fascinating. I was picturing a student sitting at a computer playing a game, but they're actually up standing in front of this computer, moving around, integrating.
Yeah, that's what makes it so different. They're just not gaming and they're just not using their right. thumbs.
Yeah, because I could see a lot of parents saying, well, could my child benefit the same way from playing a game on the computer that has them, you know, anticipating a ball falling from the sky or a shooter coming down the pathway or something. So it's very different.
But it's very different because it involves that movement, involves mm-hmm. the sensory systems, but also most of the games that are out there are more reactive based, right?
Right. With
more anticipatory.
Anticipatory. Based.
I know this beat is coming. I need to plan in order to make that beat at the right time. So, and it's also an internal beat, which is, you know, why we're working that internal brain clock, so to speak, mm-hmm. where, you know, a lot of the games out there, there's randomness to it, right? The hoop's there now. I got to go do this over here. And then I might come back to this. Whereas this is kind of just more that internal, okay, we got to get our planning right. We need to know when we're going to anticipate that.
Right.
So.
Okay. That is so fascinating. I would love to come see it in action for sure. It sounds incredible. Now, you target students with sensory processing disorders or individuals with sensory processing disorders. And we do actually see quite a few clients that come in that have sensory issues, quote unquote, maybe not diagnosed with a sensory processing disorder or even an autism spectrum disorder. But the parents might say, you know, she is weird with certain textures, doesn't like loud noises, is picky about certain textures and foods, or he doesn't like, you know, finger painting or the art table or writing with shaving cream to practice sight words. So interactive metronome can help with sensory integration? Is that what it's doing?
Well, so it works with that sensory processing. So yeah, again, because we're looking at those sensory systems, we're targeting our motor planning, our movement, which is mm-hmm. part of sensory processing, right?
You need
to practice and be able to move and execute through activities in your environment. But then you're also establishing that auditory feedback, auditory processing is a key component of the metronome as well. And then your visual processing. So you've already got those three triads working mm-hmm. together, those three sensory systems. And oftentimes, you know, the visual and auditory system are linked together. So you've already got that. A lot of kids that we treat have difficulty with sound sensitivity. So you're tackling that area. From the tactile standpoint, you can involve tactile activities. We put shaving cream on switches, things like that. So you can incorporate that. But again, we're looking at neural efficiency, which is still part of sensory processing. Mm-hmm. We're looking at that, you know, that frontal and parietal lobe through the interactive metronome, but also you're addressing that cerebellum, which is that part of your brain that helps you with balance and coordination because you're moving throughout the metronome as well. And again, if you go to their website, they have some really nice information about how the neural efficiency works together with the certain parts of the brain and how the brain is reacting when you're anticipating movement. But we also, because I am a SI clinic, you know, I have the equipment there. So we'll have our kids on swings trying to hit the beat. So the, you know, because the beats, the switches are wireless or wired, you can have both. But in the, you know, the main clinic unit, you have access to both, you know, a wired switch and a non-wired switch, so you can move around the clinic and still connect with the computer.
That's great.
So we'll have them do obstacle courses within the metronome room. So we're working on those sensory movements. They're on the swing, getting regulated while they're working on challenging that motor timing. Of course, we wait till they, you know, we don't always do that right away. We want to first and foremost, we're always trying to help them understand how to get that beat, how to understand that anticipation and start to get their scores within, you know, the average range. And then we start to add these other higher level components.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And increase the demand and increase what they have to do and perform. So you're an occupational therapist. Would you say that is it typically IM, interactive metronome, administered by occupational therapists?
No, they there's several disciplines that can be trained through the interactive metronome. So educators, speech therapists, physical therapists, OTs. I know when I went to do the training, my son's reading teacher, so she's a dyslexic specialist, went. So you're working from your frame of, you know, well, you're working from your professional discipline, and then you're also working from whatever frame of reference or theory base that you, your profession is under.
Okay.
So, educators, there are programs, in fact, you know, there are programs that out there that are using it. We would love to see it more in the schools. I think it's such a powerful program that can help with the reading and the math and those higher level academic skills, because you are working on executive functioning.
Right. It sounds like it could really be beneficial for all students, but especially for students with learning challenges that have neurodiversity. So if somebody we have listeners all over the kind, well, actually all over the world now, thankfully, which is fascinating. If somebody wanted to find an IM provider, an interactive metronome provider near them, how could they find a provider near them that gives interactive metronome?
So the website has a list of providers or a search list. So you can go on to the interactivemetronome.com and go under providers to find a provider that's near you. If you are, which is, you know, technology is always nice, right? If you are not able to find somebody in your area, you know, you can do a home program because it is offered virtually. So the interactive metronome, which is a clinic station that you would have, would be set up in your clinic. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of clinics are using it. A lot of educational training programs out there are using it. So that's like a main unit that you would have. But then they also have what's called a home unit. And I remember when I first did the training, they talked about it as, think of it as like an instrument. Like, you know, you play a piano, you're learning these skills, you use it throughout your life. Well, the interactive metronome home unit can be that same thing, where it's just part of that daily routine that you learn to work on those executive functioning skills. And so you can get a unit that is at your home, and then you work with a provider based on an e-clinic setup. And so then what the provider does is, so you're working virtually with the provider.
Right.
And the provider will send you the programming activities. So there might be a set of exercises that they want you to do specifically to the needs that you have based on your assessment results. And they can send it virtually. So then when you go on to your IM home unit, you will get that plan for the day. And then your provider is monitoring your progress and tweaking your program as well.
Okay.
So that is an option out there as well.
That is so cool, because there are some, you know, people in remote areas or small towns that don't want to drive an hour, hour and a half or more to get to a provider, especially if it's something that's more than one time per week. So that's exciting to know that everyone can find a provider near them, or they can do the IM virtually. So how can they find you, Sue, if they want to connect with you or your clinic? What's the best way to contact you?
So you can contact me through the clinic's website. It'll send an email to me. So it is tctci.com. And then you can also find me in the provider I am links, but you can also email me as well. I'm always happy to talk about the programs out there. As you know, I stated, I come from both a professional background as, you know, a pediatric OT, but also a personal background as having a son with a learning differences. And so, I'm always willing to help out. So I
That's so sweet of you. I love that. I appreciate that because I know a lot of parents look for other parents that have walked in their shoes, you know, to talk about the struggles or the triumphs and to hear about real life testimonials. So I appreciate that. That's wonderful. So yeah.
Do you want me to give you the website or my
or your email address? Yeah, that would be great.
So it's S as in Sue and then Z A P F at T as in Tom, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, C as in Cat, I as in igloo.com.
Okay, perfect.
And I just want to say this from a parent standpoint because I'm feeling I should. So, you know, from a parent standpoint, it is a struggle and it is a journey, but stick with it and advocate for your child because you are their number one advocate. And because you are being proactive and you are going to get the interventions that your child needs, the success out there is endless. My son just graduated from, and remember, he didn't talk till he was about four. He graduated from the University of the Ozarks. I don't know
if you've heard
that program, but I have
heard about that program. We actually visited with them at the Learning Disabilities Association conference.
Yes, an amazing program, amazing school, and he graduated with honors.
Wow!
Just last summer, and in with a focus of environmental science. And
wow!
Great minors. Yeah. And so what's very exciting is, you know, I truly believe it's because we were proactive and yes, it's a lot of hard work and yes, you're driving here and there and oh, this therapy and that therapy, but it does pay off.
It pays off. Yeah. That is so wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that. Congratulations, Sue, on that. And thank you for what you do for the community, for students with learning challenges, and for being such a strong parental advocate for your child and his needs and his challenges and making sure that he got the appropriate therapies and interventions that he needs. And we've talked about a lot of different interventions throughout this intervention series. So hopefully everybody will consider IM or interactive metronome. Like Sue said, there are a plethora of resources and information available on interactivemetronome.com on their website. We'll put that in our show notes. We'll put the website to Sue's clinic in our show notes as well. Thank you so much, Sue, for being with us today and for sharing your personal story and your professional knowledge.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Well, everybody, thank you for listening today, episode 64 of Let's Talk Learning Disabilities. Remember, if you have any ideas or topics you would like for us to address in a future episode, feel free to email us at letstalklearningdisabilities@gmail.com. And remember, you can access our podcast website at www.ltldpodcast.com. So everybody, take care, be well, consider interactive metronome as a viable intervention, and come back and listen to our next episode. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, You can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.